Mini episode 70 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
FDH Lounge, mini episode 70. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross coming at you here, breaking down the NFL teams for the 2012-2013 season here. Let's look ahead.
Never been one, you know. But I think this is interesting. And all some people are like, oh, what are you guys doing? This seems like desperate content. This is the time of year where I think a lot of fans, you know, you and I look forward, we talked about in the last mini episode, Ricky.
Yep.
How much we look forward to this weekend. I think a lot of NFL fans actually kind of fall off this weekend because their team, chances are, is not in it.
Right.
And, you know, they get back into it for the Super Bowl. Everyone watches the Super Bowl, obviously.
Right.
But now's a good time to take a gauge at what I want. This was kind of mine. I'm not going to toot my own horn or anything, but, you know, it's kind of my idea. Let's revisit what we thought of these teams, the teams that are out of it.
Right.
Be at the beginning of the season, where they're at now.
Okay.
And do we buy or sell them moving forward?
Okay.
Obviously, free agency is yet to hit.
Sure.
The draft is 3 months away.
Right.
Or 2 months away, whatever it may be. It's close, 2.5.
Right.
A lot can change. But I think you have a pretty decent gauge using, you know, kind of, you know, some metrics, you know, how you feel these teams are going to go.
So we're just going to gloss on the teams that we did in the previous episode, mini episode that we did here, that are the final four left in the NFL. We'll just gloss on them, touch on the other 28 in the league. And you're right. There are an awful lot of fans right now who've fallen off, who've tuned out, who my team's not in it, so I don't care. But enough about the city of Cleveland.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know about Cleveland. I mean, you know, in Cleveland, you know, in January, they're never talking about playoffs. They're talking about the draft.
Yeah.
You know, who are you going to draft? You know, I mean, you know, just to all this stuff.
There's one station in particular that I'm convinced is just trolling me. Because every time I get in my car, and I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, it's a thing where I want to... I want to hear about anything other than Browns football. I know they're trolling me.
Yeah, am I on right now, by the way?
Yeah, you are.
Okay,
you were off briefly.
That was my frantic gesture. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yes, I didn't mean to do that. That was very unprofessional of me.
Moreover, I was off when you were. Yes. I don't know what it is about these mics. We're both disabled when that happens. But,
think it's a good time to do it because, look, these aren't set in stone. I think it's a fun game to play. I love making predictions and seeing if they're right or not.
I do, too. This is the fun way to do it.
I think we both did pretty well this year. We had some bad calls. We had some good calls for this year, and it's fun to revisit it.
We did. All right.
Now, of course, justify all my bad calls with, a bunch of, lies and innuendos.
Yeah, exactly.
So here we go.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Bobby Heenan.
Yes.
We'll start with the AFC East. And again, as I said, we'll gloss on the final four teams here. We already talked in the previous mini episode a lot about the Patriots. I'm picking them as a playoff team again next year. I think
they're
still
buying them.
I'm still buying them for the future.
Now, define when you. I think that's important though. Before we do this, when you say, because I'm going to buy or sell.
Okay.
For me, it's will they be better or worse?
13-3, they won't be better. They're going to come back to the pack, but I don't think they're going to come back far enough.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Patriots have outperformed my expectations the last 2 years in the regular season. And I just don't see, and this is going to be a common theme.
Mm-hmm.
I think the NFC is ready to regain complete dominance over the AFC.
Because I think so, too.
A lot of these teams, and we talked about this again in the last episode, the Patriots, this to me, this year feels like one of their last runs at it.
Sure.
But as long as they have Brady and Belichick,
That's
probably, you're right, enough. Do I buy them as a playoff team next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably I do, barring an injury to Brady.
Okay.
But I don't see them matching the win total.
The other team in the division that people are going to think of in terms of the playoffs, I picked them, you picked them coming into the season here.
I picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And again, every year when I go to do this, our FDH chief of research here, Nate Noy, he always comes back to me, Rick, there's never more than six teams that make the playoffs from year to year, and the Jets are one of the teams that fell off. But what I always like to do in a scenario like this when I'm picking the roster for the next year, knowing that there are teams like that, I start with the teams that should have made it but didn't. So the Jets are taking one of my spots for next year.
Oh, you
because
do?
There's going That's to be teams odd. That fall off. Yeah,
that's odd because
but I'm stubborn.
I'm not sure if I'm buying this team next year.
I'm stubborn.
Well, not to Nate's point, he is true. Since the playoff format was realigned in 1990, the double bye scenario with, you know, obviously divisions have kind of changed. It used to be three divisions, if you remember. Yeah, now it's four divisions, but still six teams each conference make it. There's never been less than four repeat playoff teams. Mm-hmm. It only happened once. Never more than eight.
Yeah.
It is typically six or seven.
Yeah.
So I always start by saying, okay, what teams made the playoffs? A little different than you. What teams made the playoffs this year that won't? Like, I always start, like, taking teams out, and there's a couple, and we'll hit on them. All right. Can we let me defend my Jets pick because it's easy to make fun of me.
Okay.
It's easy to make fun of Mark Sanchez
okay,
right now. All right. Kick a dog when he's down.
The Sanchez. So
to speak. Yeah, the Sanchez. Okay. I picked this team to win the AFC. They obviously fell way short of expectations. I'd like to point out they were 8-5 at one point, completely tanked in gutless fashion.
Right.
I want to go back to something we talked about in our last mini episode we did.
Yep.
We touched on the Jets. Mark Sanchez, and I hit on this, it's very similar to Joe Flacco, the theory I talked about in what we just talked about earlier with the conference championship games. I think it's the narrative of it's all Mark Sanchez's fault is lazy analysis.
Yep.
He has the most overrated set of skill position players in the league.
Yep.
Talk to any Pittsburgh Steelers fans. I know Pittsburgh Steelers fans, many of them well. None of them want Santonio Holmes back. He would be lucky to start too deep on that team. He'd be their fourth best receiver.
How does a fast guy like him, by the way, average 12.8 yards a reception?
And everyone's going to blame Sanchez. I don't think it's that simple. No, same with Plaxico Burress.
It's not what even Brian Schottenheimer's button hooks. This guy, by the way,
I'm glad he's gone because he was a lousy play caller.
I think he tried to protect Sanchez. And I didn't see much of the Jets this year, but the previous year he seemed to be protecting Sanchez.
I
and
did
it seemed
watch a lot of him. And look,
okay.
The regular season finale, Sanchez played terrible.
Right.
He threw, three or four picks. Two of them were fluky, but they were bad decisions nonetheless.
Right.
So I'm not going to absolve him there. His receivers drop a lot of passes, man. They always
they do.
Have, no matter what the name on the back of the jersey is.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of drops with them, and look.
Dustin Keller, I'm looking at you.
I think he is like a Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not quite at Flacco's level, but I think he's in that same, you know, tier as Joe Flacco, maybe a little lower in that tier, but he's an average. To me, he's a middle of the road quarterback. Mark Sanchez, he's not garbage.
Right.
Okay, just because he wears stupid white pants and GQ magazines, and you don't like that. Okay, that doesn't make him a bad quarterback.
Right.
You just don't like him personally. All right. Now,
there's other things that don't make him a bad quarterback too. She's only 17.
Yeah, okay, now stop that. Okay, that was a cheap shot. Okay, that was a call.
Was
for.
That really okay?
Yes. Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm besmirching this microphone.
Now, I don't think Mark Sanchez was the reason the Jets didn't make the play. By the way, Sean Green, when's the next time? Do you think he's going to be a Pro Bowl running back ever in his career?
No.
Okay. LT, was he 105 years old this past year? So overrated skill with. But here's the thing I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Jets didn't make the playoffs because their defense regressed.
Oh, sure.
Badly this year. Do you get the NFL Network? I'm sorry.
I do not, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, did you watch the Jets-Denver game? Remember that where Tebow Mania kind of really started going crazy?
Other than clips, not really.
Okay, well, maybe you could. You know what, though? I think you could still answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
How many plays was Mark Sanchez on the field when Tim Tebow took, by the way, the same people who kill Sanchez kill Tebow.
Right.
And by the same people, I mean hipsters. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? Okay. The stinky, crappy Tim Tebow, according to these people, okay?
Yeah.
Leads a 95-yard drive against this vaunted Jets defense, which has to carry the stinky, crappy Mark Sanchez. How many plays was Mark Sanchez on the field, do you think, during that drive?
The Tebow drive? I'm going to guess zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, he made a bad decision earlier in that game, but still, they were in position to win that game. You don't allow, if Tim Tebow stinks as much as you think he does, anti-Tebow people, and the Jets defense carries Sanchez as much as you think he does, then they have to make that stop. They didn't do it.
The only thing I would say about that, I agree with your general point, I don't want to undermine it, but they only put up 13 points on a very overrated Denver defense. Everybody talks, by the way, about how great Denver's defense was. They were a opportunistic defense.
Yeah.
They were great when it mattered. There is a vast chasm between how great people think that defense is and what the statistics tell you.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. You're right. You can't score 13 points in this league on a regular basis and win all the time.
Right.
But here's the thing. To me, though, if you're in position to win the game, mm-hmm. Look, it doesn't matter. When you're up 13-10, mm-hmm. you got the other guy with this supposedly awful quarterback who can't throw and shouldn't be in the league.
Right.
95 yards away from the end zone.
Right.
You have to win the game.
You have to.
And Mark Sanchez wasn't on the field when that happened.
Right.
And here's another thing that's, and I haven't even touched on, the most gutless part of the whole Jets story this year.
Mm-hmm.
These unnamed players throwing Sanchez under the bus.
Right.
And by the way, that unnamed, so I think that was signed P. Burris and S. Holmes, okay?
Yeah.
Let's just go without, let's just call it a spade here, okay? Because that was so disgraceful.
That's very gutsy for you to say that, use that phrase the same week as MLK Day.
Oh, well, that's terrible. I didn't mean it like that. I was using the expression. That's terrible.
Okay. All right. So that wasn't a slur.
No.
All right.
No, it wasn't. Are you kidding?
Thank you for clarifying that, Kyle.
Yes, okay.
I know you feel a little insensitive sometimes.
Listen here. Let me be a little more sensitive because I thought that was gutless what they did. Thank God for Nick Mangold to come out.
Yeah.
Here's a guy like a man and defend his quarterback. Because you know what is so bad? You see these things, these taglines, these headlines on these mm-hmm. sites. You know, some Jets players think they would be better with Peyton Manning at quarterback. Oh, gee, you think so?
Right.
They want Peyton Manning. Of course, who wouldn't want Peyton Manning instead of Mark Sanchez, okay? I'm guessing a lot of Jets fans, okay, would probably be a lot happier at night if they got to replace their fat wife, with some hotter chick, okay?
Right. Well,
I'm sure they'd be a lot with get rid of their fat wife and have Aaron Andrews next to them at night. Okay, they'd probably be a lot happy too. But I mean, give me a break. Of course, they would rather have Peyton Manning than Mark Sanchez. But they were in. People want to demean AFC title game appearances.
Yeah,
they were in two of them. Four playoff road wins for Mark Sanchez last year. Went on the road. It wasn't all him. I'm not giving him again.
Similar to Flacco, when you talk about his record of winning big games.
And where's the criticism? And we're going to get to this. I know we're spending a lot of time on the AFC. By the way, you always have to be biased. It sounds like we're another network being very biased toward the East here. When we hit the NFC South.
How ESPN of us.
Yes. Well, it's very it's nice to see I've got you coming around, Ricky. Again, your Sanchez's, your Flacco's get all this guff, despite the fact they have, they've won playoff games. There's a certain quarterback in Atlanta who I'm going to crush later in a little teaser alert who has no playoff wins.
Poor Matty Ice.
Yes, and he has a lot better weapons than either of those two.
Agreed. I certainly agree with you on that.
Here's the thing with the Jets. I like the hires, Sperano and Haley.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. Haley is not a player's coach.
No.
Okay, Kansas City, they wanted him out. The players just didn't like him.
Right.
With that receiving core, that could get toxic. Okay, I mean, it could get bad.
It could.
I mean, the thing is with the Jets, I don't know if I can buy the Jets as a playoff team because I make irrational decisions sometimes. I would not just cut Santonio Holmes. I would come out and say I fired Santonio Holmes.
Yep. You're fired.
I don't care what it counts against the cap next year. I just be like, you know what? You're done.
Right.
You're gone. I don't care. Plaxico Burress, he isn't being paid quite as much. And by the way, shame on him, too. Where he comes from, he should know snitches get stitches, okay? So shame on him doubly for throwing his quarterback under the bus.
You know what, though? We're seeing, as far as the power of heredity, Buddy Ryan never lasted real long as a head coach because of his act. Year three of Rex, we're starting to see, and I'm here.
Don't you want your quarterback? I know that people think he's a caricature and he falls in love with himself with these press conferences. Don't you want your coach saying those things? Like, isn't it like?
Yeah, but you know what though? You talked about the gutless players throwing Sanchez under the bus. First of all, there was at least one occasion where Ryan was a little too candid for his own good about him.
That was terrible. It was a Sunday night game or it was a night game? I watched it. Where he's like, that was the worst decision in the history of quarterbacks.
And not only that.
It might have been the Denver game.
It might have been. It might have been. But beyond that, we go back to Foot Guy, and he's the same guy who refused to nip it in the butt on Peyton Manning. He was the first one to get asked that at a press conference. Wouldn't love Peyton Manning.
But that's an honest answer. See, people get mad. Like, here's what I don't like about people in the media.
The atmosphere, though, when he says that.
But doesn't Mark Sanchez know that? I mean, who, you could say, look, he's supported Mark Sanchez a lot. I don't fault Rex Ryan for saying, you know, it's like, I mean, really, I mean, look, I don't care who you are, unless if you're the Saints, the Packers, or, you know, I don't know, maybe there's one other team I'm forgetting. If you ask a coach, would you rather have Tom Brady than the current guy you have at quarterback? You either tell the truth, right, or you lie and say no.
I understand. I understand. Well, do you think the Jets advance off of their 8-8?
I don't know. Right now, I'm tending to sell because I just think it's going to be too toxic in that locker room.
It might be. It might be. And then you bring in Tony Clifton, Tony Sperano, as the assistant on offense there. So, well, that could make it very interesting.
That receiving core, it's just going to be very interesting how that's managed. It's just too combustible. I don't know how to read it right now.
I agree.
I would cut people.
I'm going to say they make the playoffs as a wild card at 9-7. The other teams in the division here, my 1B team as far as
we're going to disagree on this. This is going to be, because I think this next year, I think this is a tough division.
It is going to be. The Miami Dolphins here, I am convinced.
There's no bad teams in this quartet.
No, there's not. I'm convinced Stephen Ross late in the year fired Sperano because the team didn't quit on him. Because he's sitting there and he's looking at the draft position evaporating, like, wait a minute, what are we still winning for?
I actually agree.
Backfired on him when the Dolphins beat the Jets there at the end. Again, 6-10, they're not a horrible team. They're way more representative of 6-10 than the 0-7 start to the season. That really wasn't representative of them. That was more representative of your boy Chad Henne. They're Matt Moore playing very well. Chad Henne is a bitch, as the Dead Schembechlers once said in a tune that plays prominently on my iPod. But, yeah, that was it was a breakthrough year for Reggie Bush, the way that he was going along there. A pretty good year, but, you know, not a great year by the standards of Marshall at wide receiver, but a pretty good one here. The Dolphins, to me, are not that far away. But I'm going to sell on them being any better next year because they're starting over with a new coach, and I think they're kind of retrenching. So I'm going to sell.
That's interesting. I think a lot of people, because the way they finished, are going to be high on this team. Now, it's interesting. You talk about the 0-7 start. I said before the year, because I thought Sperano was a lame duck from the start. Remember, they went out. They wanted your boy, Stephen Ross, no relation, wanted Jim Harbaugh very badly. Much like you wanted Jeff Fisher very badly this year.
We
whiffed on both.
Now we see why with Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. You think that would have been a hire? I mean, look, I'm a big Michigan. You talk about Chad Henne being my boy. I'm obviously a huge Michigan fan.
Yeah.
Let me say something that I think most Michigan fans are too prideful to say. Jim Harbaugh, an alum, too good for that job. Too good. He is above coaching at the University of Michigan. He's just that good of a coach.
That's true.
But back to the Dolphins. I said before the year that this could be the worst team in the AFC. So I was... 0-7 was a little worse than I thought.
Okay.
Now, you're right. They did play too hard down the stretch.
Yeah.
And making things worse was not only that they were winning games, but how about your Matt Barkley's, your Landry Jones, now staying in college?
Yep.
And I want to bring up a very historically irrelevant team that you're probably not going to remember much of.
Okay.
I'll bring this thing full circle, and I think you're going to, because I know you're a Dolphins guy, and this is important for you to note. The 0-9 Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Why do I bring this team up?
That's the team that qualified for Cam Newton.
No, that was the 2000. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, no, you're right. It was the 2010 Panther.
I'm getting my years screwed up here. Yeah, 2009. Okay, I thought I wrote this down like last night. I want to be very sure. It's the 2009.
My mistake fooled you. Okay.
No, the 2010 Panthers went 1-15.
Okay, they
went 1-15.
Okay.
I'm bringing up the year before.
Okay.
Okay. Let me tell you something right now. That team had two decent running backs, much like the Dolphins do, Daniel Thomas and Reggie Bush, pretty good backfield. Solid defense, just like the Dolphins do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what was the true common element between those teams?
What?
Matt Moore.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you something. Matt Moore is okay, but Matt Moore is not going to lead you to the playoffs. And here's the thing. That 0-9 Panthers team, they started the year with Jake Delhomme.
Who,
as many fans in Cleveland know, and is pretty much, you don't need to be, Cleveland knows stinks. Okay,
right.
He's done. His run is over. Never been the same after that dreadful playoff game against Arizona.
Right.
They went to Moore after a bad start. They finished kind of okay. Remember, they had a bad, and they finished like 8-8. And people are like, oh, Matt Moore's our starter. We believe in Matt Moore. We can win with Matt Moore.
Right.
What happened the next year? We already know. You already alluded. They went 1-15.
Yeah.
Matt Moore is not a long-term solution at quarterback, and I don't see this because they don't have a strong quarter. I think this team, when you look at the entire division, is the weakest at the quarterback position. So I can't see them winning many more games than they did this year. Now, obviously, they have the horrible – they're not going to be as bad as they were at the start, but they won't be as strong as they were at the end.
Right, and not only that, again, one of the reasons that they're not getting Jeff Fisher is because they're keeping – Jeff Ireland in the front office here, and there could be a little. You're going to have a little bit of a weaker head coach in there, but again, I fear front office politics rearing its head because part of what it is, and again, I think with a team like Miami too, I think there's going to be pressure for whatever coach comes in, and there's this real execrable trend in this league. I call it the Eric Mangini syndrome of a coach getting to a team and throwing a crybaby tantrum. I can't win with this. Because they fear the pressure of what's there. Whoever gets there is going to look at the expectations of a team that went 6-3 down the stretch and is just going to, you know, there's going to be a lot of, I can't win with this.
And they were playing with house money, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you're, yeah. It's kind of funny. It's actually, if you just start out real bad and your season's done.
Right.
You can play looser, and you can surprise some teams.
I think so. So you're whoever they hire, again, unless they hire somebody who's got a way more psychological stability than an Eric Mangini showed in either of his two head coaching jobs, you may have some of that. And you may have a coach, you know, cutting some guys here that maybe shouldn't be cut.
I mean, look, there's a lot of question marks here. Obviously, we don't know the coaches of the team, and they – you know, free agency-wise, they could make a move.
Yeah.
I would recommend highly the Dolphins not settling on Matt Moore for next
year. Yeah, no, I think they probably
won't. If they can
won't.
Upgrade that position, I'll change my tune, and they can compete with the big boys.
They're going to be in the Matt Flynn derby. I think there's no question about
that's
that.
That's true. I mean, he's going to get paid.
Yeah, so I think we're both selling on the Dolphins then for next year. The other team in the division here that we haven't talked about, the Buffalo Bills, the way that they ended up finishing also at 6-10. They came out of the box red hot, but it was a thing where I was pointing and laughing by midseason. Once it was like, they are who we thought they were.
You know, here's the thing. They finished I said they would finish 6-10
mm-hmm.
before the year. They did. Finished just that. But injuries killed them. I actually am buying this team. I think they're going to be better next. They can't be any
they
worse.
They might be better by a game or two, but I think they probably will be.
I think this team can actually contend for a playoff spot next year. They were really good before injuries. Just they lost Fred Jackson. Their offensive line got decimated, and then Ryan Fitzhipster went straight in the toilet. Okay,
yeah, their defense was crappy even earlier in the season. They were just outscoring teams.
True. But as we've seen, that can you know you can do that in the regular season.
Yeah,
you can do that in the regular season. You can get by with a bad defense if they can keep building that defense. I'm telling you. They've been such a streaky team for Chan Gailey.
They
started out, what, they were 0-8, 0-9 to start last year. Then they finished pretty hot.
Yeah.
Started hot this year and then stunk at the end. I mean, to me, I don't think they can be any worse than they were this past season. The record, 6-10, was just injuries just crushed them.
I'll say 7-9. I don't see them dancing much.
Well, when I say buying, I think they will win more games. The next year.
I'm buying in a very, very limited sense. Although, again, when forced to actually play C.J. Spiller late in the year, he played well. So you can have a pretty good combo next year at running back with him and Fred Jackson. That could be something that could play out in their favor. So, all right, AFC East down. Take a look at what might be the worst division in football next year, the AFC South. You have one outstanding team in a pile of garbage. The Houston Texans, who I already told you off air, they're my pick to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC next year. You add Matt Schaub to this. Now, unfortunately, you may have some rube team like the Tampa Bay Bucks that decides Wade Phillips is actually
I heard
coach.
Didn't he take his name out of the hat?
I don't
recently?
Know.
Recently, I thought he said he's not, because that was my big asterisk.
Okay, yeah.
And it's so funny, Wade Phillips, such a nice man. He always felt, you know, didn't you always get the vibe in Dallas when he was at these press conferences? He was always like, look, I just want to coach my defense. Stop asking me these questions. I don't like this. Yeah. I just want to coach my defense. And, you know, by golly, Houston hired him. They let him coach the defense. Our very first podcast in the NFL, we talked about what a transformation he did for the San Diego defense
right. His
first year. That was a defense that went from 31st to 11th his first year in the job there. He took this defense from the bottom and put him right at the top.
Amazing.
And without Mario Williams.
Yeah.
Mario Williams was hurt. And then the offensive side of the ball, you talk about Schaub obviously being lost
right. For
a good portion of the year. Andre Johnson was not healthy this year.
Yep.
They have the best duo, I think, in the backfield of any team in the league.
I agree.
Great offensive line with your New England's and Baltimore's and Pittsburgh's, you know, all being a year older and a step slower. I'm with you. I think Houston is an early good. I would love to see what the odds are going to be on this team because they've always been they finally got over. They finally made the playoffs. Right. Now can they take the next step? I think they can. I think they win this division in a walk.
Not only that. I mean, I'll tell you what. They don't have too many defensive needs because, as you said, they did what they did without Mario Williams, which makes it that more extraordinary. Picture this team. What's the only thing that they still don't have, at least in terms of a real glaring thing, number two receiver? What if, like, an Alshon Jeffrey or somebody drops? Can you picture that?
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, that would be amazing.
Yeah, because
this
they
is
did
the
a
best
good
wide receiver draft since 96. And I know that at a 10-6 record, they're going to be picking in the 20s.
But there's
somebody
your Michael,
who's going to drop.
Michael Floyd's could be there. Yeah, sure. I think that would be outstanding. Yeah, because they do need to take the pressure off Johnson.
Yeah.
So I'm a big buyer on this team next year. I really think now Indianapolis, simply by sheer numbers, is going to be very improved.
Yeah.
Now, the whole thing there is we're doing this in, you know, late January.
Right.
The quarterback situation is so unknown. And it's going to be so, again, I use the term toxic like I do with the Jets. It's just going to be.
I think it's a little more known now that the former Black Seaford got blown out.
Yeah, are you betting on that Peyton Manning will not be on this team
not
next year?
Not going to be on this team. Not
well,
this
in that case, well, that's even better for Houston, I think. Because Andrew Luck, as a rookie, being kind of thrown to the wolves, he's not going to lead. You know, if you did put Peyton Manning in there, and he was the old Peyton Manning, not even like the prime of his career, but even just what he gave you 2 years ago, that team can easily jump to 9-7 and contend for a wild card. But with a rookie QB in there, and I don't think the weapons were. I didn't think the weapons were that great. With a healthy Peyton Manning, I did not think this team was going to make the playoffs last year.
Interesting. Okay.
I thought around him had really deteriorated. They've got some good players, not a lot.
They haven't had a good running back in a good 5 years.
Yeah,
I mean that's part of the problem.
Yeah,
too.
I mean I'm selling on your Tennessees and Jacksonville's though. Jacksonville, I think, could be the worst team in the league.
They very well could
they will
be.
Rue the day they did not draft Tim Tebow.
Indianapolis 2 wins. Much
they will
like
win more. They will. Yeah, remember like Carolina.
I'm buying in a narrow sense. 4 wins.
I could see me improving by a lot. Remember Carolina? We talked about they're number one team in the draft.
Mm.
Get the franchise quarterback. I said, just because where they were at, they're going to be one of the most improved teams in the league this year. So Indianapolis will be. They're going to climb back. And look, Tennessee, it's interesting to look at their season because they got to what, 9-7?
9-7.
Could have made the playoffs, but they lost a tiebreaker. And that's despite getting a terrible year out of Chris Johnson.
Terrible year out of Chris Johnson. Almost nothing out of Kenny Britt. He went down very early.
Yes.
I'm looking at this team, and I'm extrapolating, and this is what I said to you off air, that when you look at the AFC, again, it's a thing where you know the teams that are going to fall off, and we're going to talk about some of them as we go along here. You then have to find teams that are going to step up. Versus in the NFC, I think there's a surplus of worthy teams.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about here.
Here there's – I don't think there is. Here's the thing
with
Tennessee.
I'm saying Tennessee by default. They had a wild card by default.
Here's the thing with Tennessee.
Yeah.
They had Kenny Britt gets injured. Chris Johnson, subpar year. They still go 9-7.
Right.
First year head coach, by the way.
Right.
First year head coach.
Right.
That was supposed to be a big negative this
year.
It really wasn't. More on that later when we get to the Cleveland Browns, by the
right.
way. I got something for you there.
Okay.
What was the reason they were good? They got way more than I expected, and probably than you expected, too, out of Matt Hasselbeck. Here's the problem, though. Eventually, there's going to be a movement to go to Jake Locker.
Yeah.
And I think, when that happens, it's a transition year. And the Titans for me are such a hard team to pick because they're so fundamentally sound that they really never have an awful year.
Right.
But they're always kind of around, 500 basically every year. Sure, they've had their great years. They've had some down years.
Right.
But ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't like this team. I just don't.
I don't want to. And I
just think it's going to be a transition year because eventually the move, Hasselbeck's going to play a couple bad games. People are going to be calling for Jake Locker, who looked okay in some spots this year.
And
it's going to just kind of like, it's going to kind of fall apart.
And on a personal level, I really don't want to pick them. Mike Munchak being a classless piece of crap who fired a cancer patient as his first move on the job there, Mike Heimerdinger. So I'm not a Mike Munchak fan at all. But I got to be unbiased here. I'm going to say 9-7 again, and next year 9-7 gets them in the grid. here as a on the tiebreaker.
I'm not
sold on this team.
Horrible division. That's part of my.
Do we agree that Jacksonville is probably the worst team in the AFC, if not the whole league?
5-11, and that's still a sell for me. Is that a sell for you?
Yeah, I think they could get worse. They will. I'll tell you what. They're going to rue. Those people will rue the day they did not draft Tim Tebow all the way till the time they moved to LA.
Right. And that that Shaka Khan dude is going to look at the investment that he made in this team and find that he could have done a lot better with something else.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just those skill position players, it's just bad.
Thomas, your leading receiver, 44 catches, 415 yards.
And Blaine Gabbert looked awful. He did. I know he was a rookie, and they're not all going to be Cam Newton out of the box, but he looked terrible. I was surprised they won five games.
I got another shocker for you. Barely positive.
This was maybe the worst 5-11 team in history.
12, yeah, they might have been. 12-11 touchdown interception. He actually threw more TDs than he had picks. That floors me.
He must have just fumbled a lot or something. Because I remember him turning the ball over a lot more than 11 times. I don't know.
Oh, it could be. I agree with
you. This team is bad. To me, this is the worst. I think this is the worst team in football moving forward.
Their defense, I think, was slightly above average.
Yeah,
but we've seen, though, these low-scoring teams, you know,
Cleveland had a great defense, and they're the other really bad team in the AFC.
Jacksonville is going to fall off from the five. I'll give you that here. The North, which had three playoff teams here this year, and I think is going to be back to one next year. Ooh. The one that we talked about in the last mini episode that we did, Baltimore Ravens, I'm going to pick them to repeat as division champions next year.
I'm not a big picker on repeat division champs. Does not happen a lot.
I'm not, but I
especially when they've made the playoffs 4 years in a row.
I'm more so looking at the other teams there. Let's go to the higher ranked of the two wild cards, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who again. And I always, again, I'm the world's biggest Steeler hater, but I've been fairly objective when we've been doing picks here. And again, I'm looking at this here, and perhaps I'm far too optimistic as a Steeler hater, but that defense is really showing some signs of age here. The running game was not what it should have been.
The running game hasn't been what it should have been for years.
This is
Ben Roethlisberger chucking the ball all over the yard.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, this division, you're right, the only division that had three playoff teams this year. I am selling on all three playoff teams for next year. I don't believe any of those three teams match this year's win total.
Yeah, Baltimore won't get 12, so
nor
I'm selling
Pittsburgh.
In a relative sense, but they'll make the playoffs, I think.
Well, Pittsburgh, somebody's going to win the division, but you're right. I see this division, it could be a one-bid division. Yeah. Although, when I look at these other ones,
I think Pittsburgh regresses to 9 and loses in the tiebreaker. I'm gonna say
that. Wow, you've thought this a lot more than I have. Look, here's the thing with Cincinnati, because a lot of people are going to be big on this team next year.
Yeah.
People laughed at me when I came on this program, not specifically this program. I didn't get the feedback, but a lot of feedback. I came on this program and said this team would win at least 5 games this year. Okay? Think about that.
Yeah.
People thought this was the worst team in the league. They went 9-7.
I thought they were possibly
the worst.
They
went 9-7. They had a great draft, obviously, with Green and Dalton. They fleeced Oakland in the Palmer trade badly.
They did.
I mean, that's going to be a rip-up. So they're in position for another good draft, but they were kind of fluky. I didn't buy them all year, and that makes me think that they're not going to match. They jumped up from 4 to 9 wins.
Right.
I don't think they can match this year's
win total.
They'll
be like 7 or 8, I think.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a pretty – you know, the Ravens and the Steelers eventually have to get old, and kind of one of them's got to have a bad season.
Right.
So I could see – and then you have the Browns is the other team. Here, I just teased you on this. Coming into this past season with the lockout, everyone said teams with new coaches – are going to be screwed, okay?
Yeah.
It was not the case at all. Pat Shurmur, listen to this. Only first-year head coach, I'm not including interims, Garrett and Frazier in Dallas and Minnesota, not in this, because they were with their teams late last year, so there was continuity there. Pat Shurmur, only first-year head coach not to improve his team's one-loss record this year.
It was a big disappointment. By the way, last thing on the Bengals here, before we go back to the Browns, as much as I agree with you, I think the Bengals are going to regress a little bit here.
They're
going to
get a third-place schedule, though, which is going to help
It's going to help. And the one thing, as I'm looking at their roster here, a guy who I think, and I want to make sure to mention this because we've been hearing this trend recently, both in the fantasy sense and otherwise, these mega tight ends in the league here, Jermaine Gresham is going to be in that class in the next couple of years.
Here's the thing. maybe they are. Because, look, my model says that you don't make the playoffs 5 years in a row.
Right.
And that's what the Ravens would be looking at. The Steelers have done it a bunch of times. And I don't like picking repeat division champions.
But I'm picking them by
the
default.
There was, I believe, only... There was only one repeat division champion this year.
Right.
New England.
Right.
It's the only team that repeat. So it doesn't happen very often. So that coupled with four straight playoff appearances lead me to think Baltimore's not going to win the division. Pittsburgh seems like, well, they're always. Cincinnati has never made the playoffs of back-to-back years since, in what, like 20 years?
I don't think, yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, they've had like those two. They had the Kimo von Ohlhofen situation the 1 year.
Right.
A couple of years ago, they kind of snuck in with a similar way they did this year, running in defense.
Right.
But.
See, I'm picking Baltimore by default because I think Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are going to fall off slightly, and I think Baltimore again they'll fall off.
No team's winning
wins.
12.
No
team's winning 12.
No.
The Browns. Here's the interesting thing: the Browns, who I think along with Jacksonville, could be, they're in position for maybe a good draft.
I'm going to buy on the four.
They should win more games.
Yeah.
They need to have a Cincinnati like. The kind of draft Cincinnati had this past year.
They're set up for it. And yeah. Tom Heckard, on the early to mid-rounds anyways, has done pretty well the first two
years. Yeah, but, you know, early to mid-rounds is mid-rounds. Fine.
I understand.
You need home runs. And look, I know this is some people don't want to hear this thing. They think it's simplifying this. They need to draft players who the kids want to put their posters of on the wall. They need home run hitters, not any of these fundamentally sound. No, they need home run hitters at the skill position.
As a Browns fan, I am homering for Justin Blackmon with the number 4 pick.
That seems to be the way to go. Could be there.
Yeah.
Now, I always thought that potentially, to make the offense even better, more complete, going Trent Richardson with that first pick and then hoping a receiver falls to that second one.
Could be.
Would be ideal, but Blackmon does. God, it seemed like it was high school kids covering him in that Fiesta Bowl against Stanford, and they are so bereft of talent at the receiver
position. Best wide receiver draft since the vaunted class of '96, and he's the consensus number 1. What does that tell you?
Yeah, and here's the thing. But if you do think, to me, they just need so much help offensive. They need to just go all offense in this draft. That offense was pathetic. They need offensive lineup.
Get you another offensive line.
And I'm not ready to... Cole McCoy looked pretty terrible this year, I'll admit that. But I give him an incomplete so far
I'm
as a grade because he's running for his life every play. No help with the skill positions.
Eric Steinbach, who did not play this year on the offensive line, had the back surgery. You put Steinbach back in there with Joe Thomas and Alex Mack. If you draft an offensive lineman, you know, in the second or third round... All of a sudden, that's a better.
And the defense was good, and the defense was really good.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
yeah.
every defense in this division was in the top 10.
They were, and again, though, it was more so, and they were very vulnerable against the run. The Browns were more bend but don't break, I would say. But again, very effective. Dick Geron deserves a lot of kudos. And
it's tough though late in the year if you're a bad team. It's
tough
for the defense to keep getting up when you know the offense stinks.
Right, and I think we can say once and for all. As much as I hate, go ahead. Yeah, I know you got a good point here.
Here's the problem, though. Here's another reason why I think you've got to not fall in love with this division. Is they're not going to draw the NFC West. All four teams had pretty easy schedules this year. You know, ever remember people were like, oh man, look at the Browns' early season schedule. They could start 5-2. Well, it was the Bengals that kind of did that. You know, they kind of took advantage of it.
And the schedule wasn't as soft as it looked, but it was still fairly soft.
Oh, it was real soft. I thought it was right. I could not wait to flock to BW3s every week. The Browns played so many bad teams.
But
they played every awful team in the league, and they went 4-12.
Think about some of the games, though, that we thought could be with the 49ers. They could take the 49ers. Oh, Houston. What have they done the last couple of years?
Oh.
I'm saying look at what we thought at the beginning of the year.
It was a
bad schedule, but it was not as bad as we thought.
Look at one of the wins, though, against an Indianapolis team that you thought,
But, I mean, Oakland was more respectable than we thought they were going to be.
Sure, but, Ricky, they played St. Louis. They played look at some of these non-division games. They played Jacksonville.
I know.
I mean, some real dregs of the draw.
I know, and still didn't win as
many
games.
And the problem is always with this team, they always go 1-4 against the Ravens and Steelers.
No, that's true. That's true. Not.
Everyone kept saying, oh, they've got to. You know, again, you know, I was so upset about picking the Browns to do better than they wound up doing this year. I said this could be like a 7-win team.
I said 7-9.
Yeah.
I had egg on my face.
Because basically with the Browns, the whole thing was, you know, they've got to be respectable one of these years, right?
Yeah.
And
I liked the direction. I liked all being on the same page, all folks from the Holmgren tree.
Do they re-sign Peyton Hillis?
No, they won't. And it's a thing.
Don't you think they should? Don't you think they could get him at a cheaper price? Because he screwed himself on the market with his shameless behavior.
Sure they should. But again, and this is a thing where I was a big Pat Shurmur guy when he got here, but I'm the first to admit he really fell short of my expectations for the year.
He seemed very confused.
Well, even that, like at the press conference, this is a classic example of what you don't do. He was asked, would you like Peyton Hillis back? And he totally flim-flammed it. The answer you give is, all things being equal, sure. Now, there's budgetary things. We will work out a figure. They'll have one. I can't say for sure that's going to happen. But in a vacuum, would we love to have a Peyton Hillis? Sure we would. That's the answer you give. His answer basically slammed the door on it. But a non-answer is an answer that says no.
Yeah, that's basically saying I'm not smart enough to come up with what you just said.
You don't do that.
He seems dumb.
I
don't know if he's a good coach. The only thing you could say about the Browns being respectable, I'm with you. They'll probably improve on last. Again, they'll have the last place schedule.
Right.
Okay, which is good. Now they do draw the NFC East next year. I'm going to try to go to see him play Dallas, by the way.
Okay.
In Jerry World. I think I'm going to try to attend that game.
Interesting. Okay.
So
we can put the Redskins down for a win.
you'd think, but you know, Washington's the one team, the one quarterback hungry team that's probably going to get it in the draft. I think RG, we'll get to them later. We'll talk about that.
Right.
But the rationale for saying, oh, the Browns, this will be their year, is basically, well, they've sucked for 10 years, and basically life in the NFL says you can't suck every year.
Well, and
they have.
The only other thing I want to say is that some of the football fans I hate the most, and God knows there's a lot of them that are Browns fans, knuckle-dragging, blue-collar fans who, like, only this is football. Only my kind of football is football. These are the people that are like, I want the Titans to beat the Rams in a Super Bowl because the Titans are a blue-collar team and the Rams, that's not football. Greatest show on turf, that's not football. These are people who live vicariously because they don't have any manhood of their own and they just love to see other people get cheap-shotted and laid out. These are the people who cheered when Tim Couch had a concussion and Tim Couch cried. I hate these kind of fans. These are the kind of fans who think they think that Rob Ryan is a great defensive coordinator because he's demonstrative and he's a buffoon and he does all this stuff. And Dick Turan is a professorial type and he's bespectacled and he's serious looking and everything like that and doesn't show emotion. Guess what? Dick Turan proved again this year he is 1 million times the defensive coordinator of Rob friggin' Ryan. So I'm sick of hearing this from these knuckle draggers about what constitutes a coach. He shows emotion on the sidelines. Yeah, how much emotion did Tom Landry show on the sidelines? I hate these people with a passion.
I don't know where that came from, but I enjoyed every second.
Yes. I mean, these type of blue-collar morons. My family has blue-collar roots. I come from generations of blue-collar.
Your dad is the guy who every New Year's Day says they ain't never been hit like that before.
Exactly.
And, of course, then the SEC runs by the Big Ten about 10 straight plays.
I mean, I'm only in the second generation of white-collar in the history of my family. I have blue-collar roots, but it's a thing where, so it's not all blue-collar people. But only blue-collar people have this tendency. That's not football, damn it. I hate that.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Oh, God, it's ignorant. It's so stupid. All right, AFC West. Let's try not to bog ourselves down on this crap-o division.
Well, there's only one place to start when you talk about the AFC West, isn't there? And we can try as a program, as a part of the media, we are, I believe, contractually obligated to begin in only one place. Aren't we not?
Thank you, worldwide leader.
aren't we not? There's only one place you can start.
There is, apparently.
Can I just speak?
With the guy with the 46.5 passer completion percentage.
That's a fact. But no one with a 46% completion has ever captivated a nation quite like this man, living and dying on every throw. All right, let me tell you something.
First, I'm going to admit, 2-1 interception or touchdown interception ratio, too. I'm going to be fair throwing that out.
What you just said are both facts.
Yeah.
Now, as we get into Tim Tebow, I'm going to supply you with some facts because I think you and I are two of the very few people who can have a rational Tim Tebow discussion.
Yes.
Okay. I want to say a bunch of things now.
Okay.
That I believe to be facts. And you tell me if I'm wrong. You just say yes or no.
Okay.
Fact. Denver Broncos stunk last year.
What year? I mean, are you talking about
two seasons ago?
2 seasons ago. Certainly
they were 4-12. That is stuck.
Yeah, and he played a couple of those games.
He did. Okay, thank you for the. Okay, that's very good. He did. He did play three, but you know they were 3-9 already, I believe, or 3-10 when he took over. So they and fact. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No one, and I've combed the publications for these. No one had Denver winning the division coming into the season, this past season.
No, that's true. I don't think anybody picked the division winner at 8-8, but
no one had Denver contending. Everyone said the defense stunk. It doesn't matter about this quarterback situation because the defense is so bad. It doesn't matter. Go back and read everything.
Trust me, the defense was mediocre.
The defense was terrible last year. This Denver defense.
Situationally, in 2011, they were very good at times.
I'm talking about 2010.
Right.
In 2010, coming into this past season, no one was high on Denver's defense.
Right.
That's why they hired a defensive-minded coach, John Fox.
What would you call their 2011 defense? I'd say mediocre.
Above average.
Okay.
Above average. I mean, they put up some good numbers, but I didn't think they had a lot of, you know.
Their numbers stunk.
And situationally.
They were great situationally.
Yeah, they made big plays when they needed it.
Right.
All right, but anyway, please. Let me continue.
Okay.
Okay. So the Denver Broncos started this year 1-4. That's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
Okay, they did. Okay. I mean, there's no debating that.
Yeah.
At that point, Kyle Orton was 7-17 in his last 24 starts.
Yes.
Putting aside who's on the bench, what fan of any team is not looking at that point to make a change of quarterback?
Yeah,
when you're 7-17, you know, nothing's going wrong. You're an irrelevant franchise.
Right.
No one thinks you're going anywhere. You're 1-4. You stunk the last season and a half. You're not doing anything. You have to start entertaining making a change of quarterback. I don't care who the option is. You're going to think.
Kyle Orton was as much of a winner as Randy Orton is a draw.
Yeah, exactly. Kyle Orton. We'll get to I've crushed him enough times. He got his little win at the end of the season, but again, it was a meaningless game.
Right.
First next big game he wins will be his first. So at that point, at 1-4, having stunk for a season and a half, they made a change of quarterback, correct?
Yeah.
That change was to Tim Tebow, correct?
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos then won the division, correct?
At 8-8, correct.
But they won the division. Here's my point. Anyone who claims the 2011 Denver Broncos were anything but a success, had anything but a successful season, is a knob, is a loser, and has no sense of perspective ever at all.
Very good season relative to what you could have expected.
No one said Denver. They won the division at 8-8. They lost their three games. That's fine. They also won six of their previous seven. And I don't know anyone who picked Denver to go 8-8 this year.
There might have been a few people.
Who? I'd like you to show me one.
I know I didn't.
I want anybody listening to this podcast to forward me a publication that said the Denver Broncos would be 8-8 in the playoff discussion. There wasn't any.
Okay.
And everyone said nasty things about this defense that all the anti-Tebow haters are clinging on to this great defense Denver had as the reason. Look, were they extremely fortunate?
Sure.
Yeah, they had four overtime wins, including the playoffs, Ricky.
Right.
That's very rare.
Right.
I think every win they had was basically by 4 points or less. I mean, they beat Kansas City. They beat Oakland pretty comfortably early in the Tebow run. Now, speaking of the defense, by the way, people say, you can't consistently keep winning when you're scoring in the teens. Okay, well, you're going to consistently lose when your defense is giving up 40-plus points, which happened in three of Tebow's four losses this year.
Right.
So, yeah, okay, they got blown out, made look terrible in the New England game. And I love, by the way, these Tebow stinks when the end result was getting eliminated by Tom Brady in New England.
Yeah, okay.
That doesn't mean anything. Do you know what that means?
Right.
It means a very lucky, opportunistic team that was riding a quarterback that had a kind of a hot, a hot hand in some regards. I mean, he wasn't, not like an Eli Manning hot hand, but he seemed to have lady luck riding on his shoulders.
Right.
Shades of the honky-tonk man in 1987, perhaps, okay? But look, yeah, you're not going to keep winning. I lost my point because I made that. I was tripping over myself to make the honky-tonk man reference. But no, okay, yeah. Okay, you're not going to win. You're not going to win if you're scoring in the teens. But at the same token, you're not going to lose if your defense is giving up 40 points.
I got another reference too. People, I've already seen early comparisons based on rookie season and 30 years apart in the draft, Von Miller to LT. Think about that for a moment. I'm already seeing some early.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
What I'm wondering is if
wasn't he like the MVP his rookie year?
He was at least close. Can we extrapolate from that that he's going to headline WrestleMania 41?
No, there
that's Brodus Clay.
Yes, there we go. That's very good.
No, but I have seen that comparison.
But look, here's my point on Denver.
Yeah.
This season was a success. I don't care what you say. And here's the thing, too. And you'll like this. You'll like this, too, okay?
Okay.
Everyone who said, oh, Tebow stinks. Right. Oh, this guy's no good. He shouldn't be an NFL quarterback.
Right.
What's your solution? What should Denver have done when they're 1-4 and the guy they have starting is going nowhere fast? What should they have done? Now, if you legitimately want to have the conversation, they should have gone to Brady Quinn, I'll at least give you the time of day.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be the kind of guy who just wants to complain about George Bush's presidency for 8 years and has no solutions, look,
yeah.
I have solutions. You don't like them. Yeah, I mean,
right.
Look, I mean, you get very scared when I give my solutions,
yes.
And I'm turning the stars and stripes into a hammer and sickle. Okay, but at least I have a solution.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You have to respect that. I'm not going to sit here and whine
right.
about somebody and oh, this was stupid.
Right.
He shouldn't have done this. Okay. Well, what should he have done? You know, it's
right.
like with the
you have your reasons for putting over the best food stamp president in history.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry. Like when for George Bush, you know, people. You know, this is the only time I really defend George W. Bush in the history of presidency. You know, people always criticize the way he reacted. Remember the famous scene? He was reading the book to the kids,
right?
And somebody whispers in his ear, you know, about 9/11.
I think that should be beyond criticism. What is he supposed to do? Scare the kids?
Exactly. A buddy of mine said, "What did you want him to do? Like, start running around the classroom, grabbing kids? Oh my God!
We're all going to die!
Like, what was he supposed to do? You know?
So
to me, it's like, what was Denver supposed to do? They
right.
went with. Look, and that's what was my whole – I said Tebow should have started at the beginning of the season simply because you had what looked like a bad team on paper.
Right.
And why keep doing – if you're bad,
right.
if you've been bad, everyone thinks you're going to be bad, and then you start bad, why keep knocking your head against the wall? Let's try something new. I don't care if the backup is some no-name nobody knows anything about or he's a highly religious former Heisman Trophy winner that's a big ratings draw. It doesn't. You got to change. And they changed. They completely outperformed expectations. Now, all this being said, there's no way they matched last year.
No, exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
But here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
You always talk about, well, who are you going to replace him with? The West is clearly going to be a one-bid division next
clearly.
Year. This is a. I think the division could be worse next year. Now, Denver, my look, when, you have, that
net worse,
when
yeah.
you have that many close wins, including overtime, and you're just that fortunate – the ball kind of bounces the other way the next year, right?
Right.
But who do you pick to replace Denver? I don't like the coaching situations on any of these four teams.
I'm going to go San Diego just because they're so talented.
Look, I've done
they
that though, every
division.
Year, and I was ready to do it. And then guess do you know what they did?
What?
They kept Norv Turner.
Oh, look. With the right coach, they would be my pick to battle Houston to win the AFC. They have the talent to do that. Having said that, I think everybody else will regress. I'm going to buy on San Diego at 9 wins to eke out a divisional title, notwithstanding Norv Turner.
And then Oakland, on the other hand, I don't like the coaching move they made.
I thought getting rid of Hugh Jackson?
Yeah. I mean, okay, well, again, did he get a little mouthy at the end?
Yeah.
I like when my coaches are mouthy.
It takes all the guts in the world for Reggie McKenzie to blow him out. And as I said to you off air, even more perhaps for Mark Davis to bring him in. Mark Davis, from everything I've heard, is a bright guy. He knows what he's doing. This is a repudiation of the way that his dad ran the team. It's something that needs to be done, but, I mean...
Look, this is what, their seventh coach in 8 years?
Yeah,
and it all goes back...
It's going to be stability, though. It's going to be the Green Bay model. I think it's going
you
to
think?
Be... Yes.
You're
yes.
telling me after going through seven coaches in 8 years, you're going to predict stability
yeah,
for the Oakland Raiders?
You're bringing in a guy who's a disciple of Ron Wolf in the Green Bay system. And
you better hope so.
Reggie McKenzie wants
They're talking
to do
to Mike
things
Tice,
the Green
by
Bay
the
way.
Way.
They are, yeah, okay. That blows my theory.
Other
right
than
there,
putting on the pads, what is he in that one practice? What's
well,
he ever done? Now, I want to tell you something right now. The Oakland Raiders, and I've been kind of biting my tongue to go on this rant because
mm-hmm.
I don't like to, you know, speak ill of the recently deceased.
Okay.
Al Davis screwed this franchise when he in just a complete fit of jealousy
mm-hmm.
refused to bring back John Gruden and honor his contract
okay.
demands. John Gruden, look, I've been an Oakland Raiders fan since I was a kid. Okay, fell in love with the team. Famous Monday night game, Bo Jackson against Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the highlights.
The
Everyone
tunnel.
Has.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. They weren't very good, though, except for a couple years after they made it to an AFC title game. Bo got hurt the week before. They got annihilated by Buffalo 51-3.
Yep.
They pretty much sucked most of the 90s.
Sure.
They then gave a chance to John Gruden, who was the youngest head coach in the league ever at the time. They brought in journeyman quarterback Rich Gannon, who no one thought anything of. Even more than a Drew Brees and Sean Payton, there has never in modern times been a coach-quarterback combo with more symmetry and more synergy than those two. Ever. I'm telling you, man. I mean, it was unbelievable. You had a quarterback that was older than the coach. He was a total extension. They were complete workaholics. They rebuilt that franchise. And they were the best team in the AFC for 3 years.
And John Davis.
Al Davis, in a jealous, refused, and he got and they've got what they deserve, the Oakland Raiders, of last, with this coaching carousel. Because if they would have just paid John Gruden what he deserved after building that team from nothing, they could have been a mini. Look, Gannon wasn't going to stay hot forever. But John Gruden was a great coach. They got with Bill Callahan, stunk. You saw him. He washed out of Oakland. He washed out of Nebraska. He stinks. And you can't keep changing the coach if you're Oakland. They've been pretty good. Now, I think the Carson Palmer trade was terrible.
Well, it was. It was. But the way that it was done, too, it was not only that, that John Gruden was upstaging Al Davis. But we go back to this again, and that's...
Reggie, he wasn't intentionally doing it. People just identified.
No, but there's another aspect to it here, too. Reggie McKenzie, who is repudiating the Al Davis model, is doing so the easier way, with Al Davis not around anymore. John Gruden was doing it while Al Davis was there. Let us not forget that I think you're right that jealousy played a part in it, but philosophical differences. Al Davis, with his obsession of the deep ball and everything like that, the next time somebody calls Rich Gannon a rocket arm will be the first. They were doing it off of the West Coast offense that John Gruden learned under Mike Holmgren. So it wasn't being done in the way that Al Davis was.
Which is
Al
stupid.
Davis, it's got to be the deep pass and the power run and nothing else.
That's stupid. Exactly. And you got what you pay because they were good the next year. They ran into the only team they couldn't play in the Super Bowl, coached by John Gruden. They got killed, and they've done nothing since.
And Al Davis
I have no idea, by the way, how this – and here's the thing, though. I didn't think – here's the thing about Hugh Jackson. I didn't think that he should have gotten the job. I thought they shouldn't have fired Tom Cable. I love Tom Cable, by the way. I would love when they just show him on the sideline because you have all these coaches now. They're well-dressed. You know, they're good shape. And you have the Cable guy who looked like he just walked straight out of the bar. How has this team gone 8-8 the last 2 years?
I don't know.
They don't have a lot of talent.
They're going to regress. I think they'll take a step back while the new system, whatever it is being incorporated.
Can I tell you?
I like them. I'm selling next year, buying in the long run.
Here's the thing, though. I think, and they can't do it because what they gave up. I think they should go with Jason Campbell over Carson Palmer.
They'd have to re-sign Jason Campbell.
Well, I know. It's not. I'm saying that's what I think that they may – look, they saw
– Don't forget TZ Pryor on the bench.
Look, they saw – in some regards – look, I can't blame a team for trying. They saw a winnable division. They got off to a good start. They lost their quarterback. They're like, okay, if we make a move, maybe we can be, you know, Denver. We can make the move at quarterback. We can win this division at 8-8. Kind of a, you know, win a stinky division. Hey, we're not that great, but we win a division. Hey, you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. They tried that. I honestly thought, though, they should have tanked this year. I was surprised Palmer played as well as he did. And that deal is they gave up a lot of draft picks. Granted, McFadden was lost for a good deal of the year.
Michael Bush, I believe, is an unrestricted free agent. That's another mark against
and
them.
And look, they lost Nnamdi Asomugha. Here's the thing, too. Does anyone even care anymore that they lost Nnamdi Asomugha with the terrible year he put up in Philly?
Yeah, but, I mean, they gave up over 251 yards in the air per game. So they had fallen off. Again, I'm a seller on them for next year. I'm a buyer, you know, a year to 2 to 3 out.
And Kansas City, here's another team. Don't like, look, Romeo Crennel's a nice man. Okay, he had that big old grin on his face when they beat Green Bay. And you felt good. Just as a human being, you felt good for him.
Wonderful guy.
Yeah.
But not anybody that's a head coach.
It was a classic case of, okay, they hated the old guy, Todd Haley. They played hard and won 2 of 3 for Crennel. I'm sorry. He is not. And here's the thing, too. Do we know anything about Matt Cassel? Really? When you think, when I say Matt Cassel, what's the first thing you bring up? It's nothing Kansas City, is it?
Yeah, no. We think back to the year.
Yeah, he went 11 and he fell in for Brady and went 11 and 5, a team that did not make the playoffs. Now, 11 and 5 is good, playoffs or not, but he didn't.
I think he's like 3 inches above average. I mean, I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I don't even think he's average, but I don't think he's much better than that. I pretty good.
He's never been. I mean, he's really Damn never been in many breaks. Meaningful. I mean, no. I would rather take, you know, your Flaccos and Sanchez's,
oh, yeah,
who have at least been involved in meaningful games,
and they have bigger ceilings on them too.
Yes,
no question about
and
it.
Are they going to lose Dwayne Bowe?
They may very well. Here's the thing too.
Jonathan Baldwin, does he fill in? You're a fantasy guy. I know that.
He
looked good in spurts this year.
I thought he would have a decent year, but he really didn't do much.
He played that one good game against San Diego. I picked him up for my fantasy team. He did not. I think I cut him 2 weeks later.
Here's a funny thing with Kansas City. What they're looking at here, what they're hoping for a precedent that also involves a former Cleveland boss. They're hoping Romeo replacing Todd Haley is, because you know how the pendulum goes here from players, coach, to tyrant, and back again. They're hoping this is Charlie Manuel replacing Larry Boa. I don't think it is.
Romeo Crennel's a nice man. There are a lot of guys. Wade Phillips, Norv Turner,
yeah,
filling, you know, come to mind, coordinators and coaches' clothing.
Yeah,
Romeo Crennel is a fine man. Like I said, he had that big old. Couldn't help but feel, you know. Mrs. Crennel's cooking obviously has gotten no worse. Okay, all right, but you know, to me, I just like it was one of those things where you kind of cringe. You felt good for the guy personally because he won.
Right,
you know, he's given kind of that second shot stick, but it's like, yeah, long term, no, I'm not a
right.
Player.
Right, everybody.
I don't buy any team in this division next year.
No,
I don't buy any team as a serious Super Bowl contender in this division.
But who's going to win the division?
I don't know.
Somebody has to. All right,
you're putting me on the spot now.
Well,
I guess this was my idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I'm saying San Diego by default. It has to be, Kyle. It can't be anybody else.
As someone who has said that every year for the last 5 years. San Diego, this is their year. I just, after a while, it's like, you know, shame on me for picking them.
We're agreeing it's not their year to do anything once they get there. They're going to limp in and get kicked in the balls like they always do.
Yeah. What if Tim Tebow does it again? What if he captivates the nation again?
Hey, old horse face says he's going to work with him on his throwing motion in the offseason.
Here's the thing. People think, like, he's not capable of becoming better. Like, Alex Smith got better.
Muscle memory is a bitch to try to correct, though.
Is Tim Tebow, in many regards, fundamentally flawed as a quarterback? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
But he's not allowed to get better? Well, here's the thing. Is he the only quarterback in league history to put up bad games? No. And here's the thing, too. I just resented, this is where, because you know me.
Yeah.
I'm brought like the least likely guy to attach myself to the Tim Tebow phenomenon.
Yeah,
would you say?
I should be completely the opposite on this. I mean, I'm not an Elliott Tebow bad.
But here's the thing.
Se.
Here's where I resented the anti. It seemed like people resented him as a story. Why? What kind of person are you? I hate people. Look, people have their reasons
Many
for not
liking.
Many
people of your social and political persuasion, Kyle. Quite frankly, that's
yes.
where it was coming from.
Yes,
yes
it was.
Yes.
But here's the thing.
It wasn't my fellow travelers.
No.
My fellow travelers were embracing him to a fault.
Yeah, here's the thing. How is this not a... The thing is, the people, I'm so sick of Tim Tebow.
Right.
Well, they'd always debate Tim Tebow. To me, it was a good story, man. Enjoy the ride. It's like that album from that one group. It's like, look, I don't know if this group's capable of ever putting out an album this good again,
right.
but God bless it for this one year. I'm going to play the shit out of this album. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what it was. And if... Look, you can... You don't have to agree with me what I'm about to say.
So this is like the Fabulous Thunderbirds circa 85.
Exactly. All right. You do not have to agree with what I'm about to say, but if you don't agree, you're wrong.
Okay.
When you reopen in a time capsule the 2011 NFL season, the number one story is Tim Tebow. I don't care who wins the Super Bowl in 3 weeks. The number one story, unless it's something stunning
happened.
You're just lucky
that Green Bay got eliminated, because if they ran the table, we'd be saying Aaron Rodgers possibly greatest season ever.
If they had run the table. But once they lost to Kansas City, they just, look, and 15-1 is great. Not many teams go 15-1.
Even if they win in the Super Bowl, Green Bay would be the story of the season. Bigger than Tebow, but
I don't know.
Now they can't
be. It depends. Once again, we don't know because it didn't happen. I can tell you.
What if you get your beloved Baltimore-San Francisco Super Bowl?
No.
Then that'll be the biggest story of the season.
No, it won't.
Two brothers in the Super Bowl coaching against one another won't be the story of the season?
No, it is not bigger than Tim Tebow.
Wow. Okay.
It is not bigger than Just look at, I mean, CBS. I mean, look, it was that was a worst-case scenario for that New England game last week. It still drew a huge number. Tim Tebow, to me, look, if this is all he gives you, who cares? I mean, again, people, it was so funny how the argument turned with Tebow.
Right.
At first, oh, he's not an NFL quarterback. He stinks. How dare you even start him? Then it quickly went to, oh, well, they won't win the Super Bowl. Oh, he's not a long-term solution.
Right.
Well, what do you care? The bottom line is you got what again? What was your solution this year? They surpassed expectations. Let's see. Look, I'll be the first to say if they start 0-8 next year and he's got a 3-17 TD to INT ratio, then by all means get the hook. But it doesn't mean that he's a bad. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't have turned to him.
No, they made the right move.
I mean, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
And it's tough. I mean, it's just pure conjecture. Okay. Would Denver have made the playoffs if Brady Quinn was the starting quarterback?
And I'm a guy who's always felt that Brady Quinn was unfairly ranked on.
No, they don't.
And I'm a Brady Quinn guy, and I say no.
Yeah, so people kept talking. Everyone made all these excuses for these Denver wins. And look, and to me, that's so old. Look, Tebow still had to make plays after he was given these gifts. Yeah, Marion Barber stepped out of bounds. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, Marion Barber fumbled. But you know what else happened? Tim Tebow had to make some throws after that. Okay. You know, how many times have you seen these gifts and teams don't do nothing?
That's
with
true.
Them? Okay. Anything. Pardon my French.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a little too fired up there. He still had to make plays. And yeah, he stunk for a large portion of a lot of games, but he made plays when necessary. And again, they outperformed expectations.
He did. Yeah.
I mean, my model suggests they will not match this year's win total.
Yeah. I would agree with that. By the way, as we make the turn here to the NFC, speaking of models, my good personal friend, Scott Pullins, good advisor to FDH on various matters. I saw, he retweeted last night, Republican political consultant Roger Stone, or maybe it wasn't last night, it was whatever night the debate was. Roger Stone, they were debating on TV about the Chilean model for Social Security and the way that they've privatized it and everything like that. Roger Stone apparently said on Twitter, the only Chilean model I'm interested in is the one I want to bang.
Very good. Yes. Okay, there we go. Yes.
I thought that was tremendous.
And with that, that's your 2012 AFC preview.
Yes, it is.